In our gospel reading today, Jesus tells a parable about God's generosity, challenging the common assumption that God rewards people according to what they have earned or deserved. Our gospel reading this morning comes from Matthew, the 20th chapter, beginning with the first verse. And Jesus continued teaching his disciples, saying, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for the usual daily wage, he sent them into his vineyard. When he had went out about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and he said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right.' So they went. When he went out again about noon and about 3 o'clock, he did the same. And about 5 o'clock, he went out and found others standing around. And he said to them, 'Why are you standing here idle all day?' They said to him, 'Because no one has hired us.' He said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard.' When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to the manager, 'Call the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and going to the first.' When those hired about 5 o'clock came, each of them received the usual daily wage. Now when the first came, they thought they would receive more. But each of them also received the usual daily wage. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, 'These last worked only 1 hour, and you've made them equal to us, who've borne the burden of the day in the scorching heat?' But he replied to one of them, 'Friend, I'm doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last the same as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do with what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I'm generous?' So the last will be first, and the first will be last." This is the word of the Lord. Well, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and risen Savior, Jesus the Christ. Friday, I stood at my office window looking out into the courtyard. My office is what used to be the assistant pastor's office, and so it looks out to the fountain and the green grass and the Peace Chapel. Pastor Lee convinced me it had the better view. I stood there, and melancholy began to creep into the edges of my soul, because the green grass, which is often just beautifully manicured, was littered with golden leaves that had fallen. A sign that snow will soon enough be dancing out in that park area. Now, you need to know, I love fall. It is my favorite time of year. The golden sun, the crispness in the air, the fresh scent as you walk about. As a farm kid, it's also that time of year when I am used to gathering together, watching the abundance being brought together. One of my favorite memories from being a kid is getting off the school bus, seeing Dad combining just on the other side of the trees near the house, running out to the field, crawling up on the box of the old 60-something or other Chevy truck, and watching him pull up with the Case combine and unload, and the amber kernels of grain just pouring out of that tube, forming a cone of grain. Sheer abundance just flowing out of that combine. I got to experience the abundance of the farm earlier in September as I went back for a bit of vacation. I'm a little weird that way. Vacation was a couple of days of working on the farm. Part of it was spent cutting wood for Mom and Dad. They heat. Probably 60% of their heat in the winter comes from wood. We found some wood at a neighbor's place. They said, sure, come over, cut it. The gift was these trees had been stacked by a payloader, not bulldozed into a large pile. The difference is when a bulldozer takes out a shelter belt, it becomes a twisted mess of limbs and dirt and weeds, and it is a mess to deal with. But these had been pushed over, grabbed with a grapple fork of the payloader, and stacked. And it was nice, easy cutting. With a brand new blade on the chainsaw, we cut and we filled the pickup and we stacked and we hauled. The last load that we loaded up onto the pickup, we loaded the saw in. Dad stood back and he said, well, that's a pretty good jag. Look at those tires. They're squatting a bit. Everything got stacked in the old loafing part of the dairy barn, waiting to be split later on this fall. But it is a great stack of wood, a look of abundance, ready to be gathered together for heat throughout the winter. Abundance by the stacks. Generosity of creation just being provided. A stop at the farm is never complete without some time in the garden. Mom asked if I would pull out the corn stalks. They've given up all of their ears, and so I set to work and did that. Some of them became a large shock that is now a decoration in the farmyard. The rest I loaded into the back of the pickup and took it to the pasture where the cattle ate. They danced around it with smiles on their face at this treat. Meanwhile, a little later, we cut squash because word was frost was going to be coming in the next few days, and Mom said, you know, it's going to be a mess for the two of us to have to pull everything together before that frost hits. Why don't you take some squash back? Six went with me into the car. I counted at least a dozen that were still there. It would be plenty for Mom and Dad. Meanwhile, Dad dug potatoes. When I picked up the bag, he said, well, I think you've got 10 pounds there. That came from three hills. Incredible generosity from God's good earth. A bounty that is being provided that we get to share in that will sustain Mom and Dad as well. And I celebrate the abundance that is all around us. One of the evenings that I was at the farm, you can sit in their living room and look out the picture window. You can see the farmland of about three or four different neighbors. And it just happened that this year, three of the neighbors pulled in to begin combining at the same time. And so within your eye view, you could see seven Case IH combines eating up 30-foot headerfuls at a time of wheat and canola. And I watched semi-truck after semi-truck coming and going, taking away the bounty of the earth, and I celebrated God's abundance and generosity. I notice abundance and generosity more these days. I'm not certain why. And don't get me wrong. The truth is, the green-eyed monster of envy can also slither out of the backside of my heart from time to time, urging me to covet and to hoard, telling me that there is not enough to go around. Watch out for yourself first. But Scripture has the ability to push that green-eyed monster back into the recesses from which it came. If I sit back and listen and read and ponder, texts like the texts before us today push back on that green-eyed monster. Texts of great abundance and pure generosity texts that show us the heart of God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who continues to engage us today by the power of the Holy Spirit. Think about it. Why was Jonah angry? It's simple. The people of Nineveh have repented. Jonah's angry because God did not wipe the Ninevites from the face of the earth, but instead, God showed boundless generosity and mercy. When they asked for mercy, when they repented, mercy was given. Here's the backstory if you've forgotten. God comes to Jonah, enlists him to take a word of warning to the Ninevites, who, by the way, were enemies of Jonah and his people. So God says, Jonah, go to the Ninevites. And what does Jonah do? Jonah turns and runs the other way away. And the only reason he ends up going to the Ninevites is because through a series of unfortunate events as he runs away, which includes him getting swallowed by a huge fish and puked up on a beach, he ends up back with the Ninevites. And he goes, and he calls them to repent. Now the truth is, his call to repentance was anemic at best. He walks into the city and he says, 40 days and Nineveh will be no more. That's it. That's his call to repentance. But here's the deal. They heard it. They repented. And our God of abundant grace and mercy forgave them. And the green-eyed monster of envy comes up out of Jonah's heart and leaves him pouting over the death of a plant. The gospel story is a story of abundant generosity as well. Everyone who worked, whether they had worked an hour or whether they had worked the entire day, all of them were paid a full day's wage. The landowner's words to those who are disgruntled says it all. Are you envious because I'm generous? God's abundant grace and mercy is hard for our human minds to fathom at times. In conversation and in Bible study, as we look at what it really means that God acts in such a way, questions often arise. So what about the worst of humanity, who've caused untold pain and misery? What about them? Is God generous and merciful to them too? We slide back into last week's texts, where Peter comes to Jesus and says, how often do I forgive? Seven times? And Jesus says, no, 77 times. We bask in God's abundance and generosity, knowing that it means we have all we need, including food and shelter for this day, and an open invitation to eternity through God's grace and mercy. A gift not only for me, but for those I don't like very much. Those who the green-eyed monster of envy wants me to dismiss, disown, and disdain. Yep, it's their gift as well, offered by the risen Christ. Which, if you really sit back and think about it, is good news. Because truth be told, I'm probably more one of those who should be disowned, disdained, and dismissed. Yet mercifully, God's grace is still offered even to me. Amen.